in verse 24 of Genesis 32, and look what it says. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. Alone with God. And Jacob was left alone. You know, to be left alone with God is the only true way, the right way, of arriving at a right knowledge of ourselves. And have the right knowledge of our ways and our ways. No matter what anybody else may think about us, what our neighbors, our husbands, or our wives may think about us, and others may think about us, it's what God thinks about us. It's how God views us. And you know, the only way you can answer that question is how God views you. And how you can learn anything from God is to be left alone, away from the world, away from self, away from our thoughts, away from our reasonings, and our imaginings and our emotions, and left alone with God. You know, Job, when it was all said and done, Jacob was left with no one but God. And that's a good place to be left. Job was left with no one but God. His friends forsook him and miserable comforters. There's nobody left but him and God. And that's what it says here. And Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. Is there anybody that was ever more troubled than Jacob was? Frightened, confused, more alone than Jacob right now. His whole life had been a life of disappointments and trouble. When he was born, he was born second to Esau. And he was inferior to Esau. And his father preferred Esau. He really did. And then his mother talked him into deceiving his father, who was blind, to steal the birthright. And then his brother said, I'm going to slay him just as quick as the time of my father's sorrowing is over. I'm going to slay my brother Jacob. So he had to leave. He had to leave. And you remember, he went to Bethel. And God met him there at Bethel. God promised him blessings to Jacob and confirmed what his mother had already told him. When she said, I've got two wounds, I have this struggle in my womb. And the Lord told her, she said, there's two nations in you. Two nations in you. Two types of people in you. And the Lord told her the elder is going to serve the younger. And that's exactly what happened. Esau ended up serving Jacob. And Jacob got the birthright with deception. And then he had been deceived by Laban when he went down to his mother's brother's house. He got down there. And you all probably know the story. What will be your wages? Well, he saw this beautiful woman, Rachel. And he kissed her. Fell head over heels in love with her. Said, I'll labor 7 years. I'll work for you 7 years if you'll give me her for my wife. Okay. Well, 7 years went by. He didn't do it. Gave him Leah instead. He said, well, you done deceived me. What I got to do now? 7 more years. Then he got Rachel. He worked 14 years to get the person that he loved. And he had deceived him so many times. And all he was told by God in Genesis 31:33, he told him, said, now you return home. You go back. You go back. You go back home. You go back to where your mother and daddy live. Go home. And then, you know, when I read it to you, when he's on his way home, he sent to tell his brother Esau, said, "Oh, listen, I've got lots and lots of stuff, and I've got presents for you, and and then they come back and told him, said, "Your brother's coming to meet you, and he's got 400 men." Jacob he got scared teetotally to death. He said, "Oh my, what am I going to do? He's coming to get me now. I'm a gone Jesse." He said, "This is it." Well, so what he done, he split his family up in two groups. And he sent one group out that in the front. He said, "If Esau gets them, then the rest of them will get away." And he said, "Oh my," I said, "Oh Lord, save me." He said, "He's going to smite me and smite my children and smite my children's mother." So here's a man, he's in trouble. He is really in trouble. He's scared to death. He's frightened. He's confused. And now he's alone. And he's afraid. And he is helpless. Helpless. He can't. What's he going to plot now? How's he going to get out of this? No plotting. No more scheming. No more manipulating. He shut up to the sovereign mercy and power of God Almighty. Huh? It's like Israel when they at the Red Sea. Pharaoh was coming up behind them. Oh, they all got scared. God said, "Dear, listen. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And the Red Sea parted. But they thought that was it. And it was like Jonah when he was in the whale's belly. He found out that salvation was of the Lord. Just like Israel did at the Red Sea. And that's what Jacob is fixing to find out, that salvation is totally in the hands of God and God alone. And I know this, that everyone that God is pleased to save and reveal His mercy and His grace to in the Lord Jesus Christ will all be brought to the place of human helplessness and inability. And God will take away all room for boasting, all room for glowing in the flesh. He'll do that. It's written that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now look what happens here now. So Jacob's left alone. That's where men need to be. They need to be alone with God. That's where they need to be. That's where people need to be. They need to be left alone with God. And I tell you, beloved, that's the thing. Being left alone with God. And God will bring us down to our inability and helplessness. And then look what it says there. "Now wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day." Now he's laying there and he's all alone. And then all of a sudden a man come and grabbed a hold of him. Jacob didn't grab a hold of a man. A man came and got a hold of Jacob. Well, who is this man? Well, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. You know, you go through the scriptures. He appeared to Abraham twice. He appeared to Abraham in the tent door. And I tell you what, our Lord often appeared in the Old Testament. And He appeared in human form, showing that He would eventually come in incarnation and live on this earth. But I'll show you how it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says down here in verse 26. And the Lord, you know, this is Christ speaking, "Let me go, the day breaketh." And He said, "I will not let thee go till thou bless me." Now who in the world can bless but God? Who can bless but the Lord Jesus Christ? And then look down there in verse 28. And He said, "Thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel." You're not going to be a supplanter anymore, but you're going to be a prince that has power with God and with men and has prevailed. Now who can tell him you got power with God? How do you get power with God? We become sons of God, not by flesh, not by blood, not by the will of man, but by the power of God. We become the sons of God by God, born again by God Almighty. And then look what He says down here in verse 30. "And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." So I tell you what, only the Lord Jesus Christ, only God can bless a man. Only God can give a man a new name. Only God can whip a man, and only God can bless a man. And all the blessings that he has for a man is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I tell you what, and look what it says here in verse 28. In verse 25. And he prevailed not against him. Oh, he prevailed not against him. Now, you know when it says that Jacob, there, when he told him there in verse 26, let me go, the day breaketh, and he said, I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. Now, this is not an example of a saint power in prayer. That's not what this is about at all. I know a lot of religion tells us, boy, if I tell you what, if you tell God, you know, people say it live on, how many times I hear people say, I prayed real hard. If you all, you know, if you pray real hard, how do you pray real hard? I mean, you know, here was Jacob, and this is not a picture of a saint prevailing in power in prayer and making God do something for him because he prevailed in prayer. That's not what happened here. Uh-uh. Jacob was not wrestling with this man to obtain a blessing. The man was wrestling with Jacob to get something from Jacob. What did he want from Jacob? He wanted Jacob to find out you ain't nothing and can't do nothing, and you're going to find that out. You'll find that out. It was what it does. God's intention here was to reduce Jacob to a sense of nothingness and to cause him to see what a poor, helpless, worthless creature he really was, huh? And to bring him to the place where he had no confidence in his flesh. Oh, and I tell you, if God's going to do us that way, and I'm telling you something else, he's going to do us that way over and over and over again. All of us at times get to feeling we really something. We get to feeling we something. And when the Lord's got it, when we feel like we're something, he's got to bring us to where we really realize we're nothing. Without him, we're nothing. And can't do anything. And I tell you what, beloved, Jacob was an object of God's love and an object of God's mercy. And our Lord Jesus Christ laid hold of him in sovereign power and laid hold on him in sovereign purpose. He says, you know, that Jacob have a loved and Esau have a hated, and the children not yet being born, never having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, this was on purpose. Why do you think that God told us said that younger, the elder is going to serve the younger? This is on God's purpose. And I'll tell you what, he laid hold on him. He laid hold on him. It's like the Lord Jesus Christ when he went into the wilderness. When a sheep was lost, he went into the wilderness. And he looked and he found that sheep. And when he found that one lost sheep, he put it on his shoulder. And he brought it all the way back. And said, rejoice with me. This my sheep that was lost is now found. And that's what's happening here. God had a purpose in doing this to Jacob. He met him over in Bethel. And he saw that ladder going up and down. Them angels going up and down on that ladder. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And here he is. Christ has got a hold of him now. It's not just an angel going up and down on a ladder. It's the Lord Jesus Christ got him. And he's got him on purpose. And I know this, if God's got to lay hold on a man. He really does. And I tell you what, and there's Jacob down here in his loneliness, in his fear, and in his need. My brother's coming, he's got 400 men. I'm here by myself. He's lonely. He's afraid. And he has a need. And when he had that need and that loneliness and that fear, when I tell you what, he laid hold of Christ. And there was something going on this night. This was a physical battle. It was a mental battle, and it was a spiritual battle, and it was a conflict that's going to be resolved tonight. And when God gets on a man, there's going to be a conflict, and I tell you what, it won't be over until it's resolved. Now, who's going to win? Oh, there's a struggle going on here this night. Struggle going on this night. But oh, God is sovereign. No doubt about that. And man is responsible. No doubt about that. God's going to have His people. But His people's also going to have Him. Ain't that right? Yeah, He said, all that the Father gives me, they shall come to me. Oh, we're given to Him. We're given to Him. But we're going to be brought to Him. We're going to come. And our Lord Jesus Christ is King. He's King by right. He's King by decree. King by His death. And He'll be King in the hearts of His people by us surrendering and submission to Him. That's got to happen. It's got to happen. And then look what it says. And they wrestled. And he saw that he prevailed not against him. He touched the hollow of his thigh. They wrestled all night till the break of day. It's no brief encounter. I mean, they started struggling and the day's coming up. The daylight's coming. This is no little old passing encounter between God and man. No. This is not an indifferent decision that people make up in front of the church. It's more than just making a confession and joining a church and coming down the aisle. You see, there's great, great issues at stake here. Eternal matters. And they're going to be resolved right here as Christ personally meets Jacob. God's going to bless and God's going to use Jacob. But it'll be a conquered Jacob. It'll be a surrendered Jacob. And it'll be a subdued Jacob. It'll be them. And then look what it says there in verse 25 again. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. You know, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Didn't look like, you know, he couldn't prevail against him. And the Lord could easily have subdued Jacob. I mean, just like that. All he had to do was put an end of Jacob, was just to touch the hollow of his thigh. But he wanted Jacob to be whipped and whipped good. He wanted Jacob to find out that it's a struggle. That he has to be whipped. He has to be brought to nothing. He has to understand that he cannot do anything. That he can't be a deceiver, a supplanter, and a manipulator anymore. And all he had to do, he could have brought him to the end of himself at the beginning. But they wrestled and then he touched the hollow of his thigh. Brought him to nothing like that. And this thing that happened this night, this great warfare between God and the Lord Jesus Christ and Jacob, there was no doubt that how it's going to come out. No doubt how it's going to come out. I don't know, different times over the years, people have come under conviction here. I can name two or three people right now got under great conviction. And somebody come and told me that they was, you know, they're so troubled about their soul. And said, "Why you going? You know what you all think? You ought to go talk to him." I said, "No, don't go talk to him. That's the last thing anybody needs to do. Talk to him. Leave him alone with God. Leave him alone." I went to visit Elbert Blaylock. You've all heard this story so many times. I went to visit Elbert one time, and went into his hog house, sat down on an old white bucket. And he started telling me, he said, "Brother Donnie," he said, I'm nastering these hogs. I'm garbage. I can't tell you how bad I am, how awful I am, what a miserable wretch I am, how worthless I am. He just wanted to tell me all the bad things is wrong with him. I just sat there and listened. And he said, "Why do you think?" I said, "Well, I know that God already done something for him." But I couldn't tell him that. Only God could tell him that. And I walked out of there, and sure enough, God saved him. There was a woman one time, some got under awful conviction. Awful conviction. People come, "You need to go talk to her, need to go talk to her, need to go talk to her." I said, "I ain't going to talk to her." That's the worst thing. That's what preachers mess up, talking to folks and talking them into anything. If God's got his hand on somebody, he will. If he started the work, he'll finish it. We don't need to tell them what God's done for them. Let them tell us what God's done for them.
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
Amen.
And I tell you what. And I'll tell you, this outcome's not going to, it's not going to, there's not going to be no doubt about it. But God's people, we're not robots and we're not puppets. God, in His blessed revelation, and He sends us revelations, He sends us trials, and He deals with us. And we've got to see, and we've got to feel, and we've got to experience the frailty of this flesh. And He brings us to see the emptiness of this world. Yeah. Jacob had all, he turned up and told all of it to his brother, all this information of all that I got. And just as quick as he found out his brother had 400 men coming, he said, "This ain't nothing." He said, I'm going to die. What's it going to amount to anything? So we got to learn the emptiness of this world. And Shirley says at all times that God's going to wean us from this world.
Right.
Your mother used to say at all times that God's got to wean us off this world. Bring us to the place where we'd rather be with Christ than to be here. And He brings us into these dealings where this world, we see the emptiness of the world and the frailty of our flesh. And oh, and God blesses us to see the glory of God in His blessed Son. And we desire above all things in this world, God's salvation in His presence. Above all the things that we want in this world, that's what we want more than anything else. And finally, the Lord struck that crippling blow, and Jacob went down. And then in verse 26, he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." Daylight's coming up. And Jacob said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." God's work's accomplished. Jacob couldn't wrestle anymore. All he could do was cling. We talk about clinging to Christ and clinging to His cross. That's all Jacob could do. He just held on. He just held on. He had been brought to the place where he leaned all his weight on the Lord Jesus Christ that night and said, he just clung to him. Just clung to him. Leaned all his weight on him. And he said, "I'll not let you go. I'm not going to let you go." And it's like that song we sang, "Other refuge have I none. Clings my helpless soul to thee. And I'm not going to let you go. You've got the power. You've showed me you've got the power. You showed me you've got the authority. So, oh Lord, bless me. Oh, bless me." Huh? Oh, Jacob had an unusual revelation. He'd wrestled with God and he'd been wounded. But the battle's not over until he's assured, listen to this, until he's assured that the permanent blessings of God is upon him and peace is his. He said, "Oh Lord, I've got to have you. And I've got to have what you, the only one that's got it. You're the only one that can bless me. And I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Oh Lord, give us showers of blessing. Showers of blessing." And I tell you what, beloved. Oh, he said, "I got to have you. Got to have your permanent blessings. Got to have your presence." And this was a life and death battle for Jacob. And I tell you, this battle will not be fought again between him and the Lord. God had told him about all of his promises, told him about all of his blessings. But now he said, I want them. I've heard about them, and you've told me, but now I want them in truth. I want to know them in my heart. I want to know them in my soul. I want to experience them. I want to experience them. And he is still Jacob. His past clouded with sin. He was a wanderer. He is a stranger in a strange country. And he still has to go face Esau. And he knew he was no better off for this experience unless he had the Lord Jesus Christ's approval, acceptance, and presence. What good will it do if I don't have Him? Oh God, accept me, approve me, and give me His presence. And then look what happens here quickly. Let me tell you this. Let me see where we're at. And I said, and look what he said in verse 27. The Lord asked him, what's your name? What is your name? Well, you got to tell him the truth. Jacob. A deceiver. Manipulator. Taking things by deceit and supplanting people. He said, Jacob. In fact, God called him thy worm, Jacob, one time. Cheat. Supplanter. Deceiver. Holder of the birthright by human effort. Oh my. We're going to admit what we are. Huh? And oh my. But the Lord, look what He says now. He said, thy name should be no more called Jacob. Huh? It's going to be called Israel. And Margin says, a prince of God. Oh my. Gave him a new name. Gave him a new walk. He never walked the same after that. And oh my, you've got power with God. And oh, hast thou power, thou hast contended, thou hast prevailed. And I tell you what, and he says, you have now called Israel, and that means God commands. What he's saying is that God, you rule my life now. You're the one that makes all the commands. You're the one that controls everything. And he says that, and he says, you have power with God. And he didn't get this by his merit, because he had none. He didn't get it by his works, and he certainly didn't get it by his will. How did he get it? By the power and grace of God coming and doing for him what only can do. And oh, and then he said in verse 29, and Jacob asked him and says, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Oh, he gave him that blessing. He said, oh Lord, I ain't going to let you go. Well, he blessed him. He blessed him. He blessed him. Why you ask my name? Well, I tell you one thing. He asked because he thought, you know, maybe out of curiosity, maybe I know that I could have, if I know who this was, have a little pride and ambition and be on first name basis with God. But I know this, Jacob's not going to be carried beyond the boundaries of faith. And this we know that it was Christ that met him, Christ that did this, because in verse 30, Jacob called the name of that place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face. And oh my, God says, no man has ever seen God and lived. Jacob said, I've seen God face to face. And my life is still preserved. Well, I've seen God face to face too. But in His blessed Son. Huh? In His blessed, blessed Son. Our Father, in the precious name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our hearts before You, humbled before You, in need of Your presence, in need of Your power, like Jacob was. And Lord, if we get taken up with the world, get taken up with ourselves, get taken up with pride, self-righteousness, and ambitious. Oh Lord, save us from it. Wean us from it. Wean us from this world. Show us the emptiness of it. And show us the frailty. Just show us how frail. David said, Lord, teach me how frail I am. Make me to number my days. So Lord, we're frail. Lord, you said that you pity us as a father pities the child. Because you remember that we're just dust. So Lord, have mercy on us. And we're like Jacob. Oh God, bless us. Because you're the only one that can. And we thank you for your blessings that you've given us in Christ. Thank you that the blessings of every day. And pray your blessings to continue as only you can give them. For Christ's sake, amen. Amen.